gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller. Time to feel good. Why? My guitar hero is here. Yeah.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Oh. Oh, no.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Can I just say I was there, Chris, at Chicago Sexy Liberal, and I went to Sexy Liberal on Facebook and saw the picture of Hal Sparks playing the guitar on the big screen. And
wow.
Oh, my God.
I got hot all over again.
It's, yeah. I almost have lost control of it now. It is roaming the countryside. The sexiness is, I think it's lurking around in alleys in Chicago.
Sure.
I left days ago, and yet still there are reports
of
sightings.
It clings like a sex humidity.
Yeah, it's still over there on Kedzie.
Exactly. What's that in the Mitmentum?
It's down there on Wacker.
On Wacker?
Roaming
lower
down
Wacker.
There. Yeah, it's down on lower Wacker. Roaming around, worrying people.
Well, it was Super Saturday before Super Tuesday, and could it be more super? I mean, the Mitmentum.
Wow.
I had to stay up most of the night to watch him eke out a win
over. So exciting, wasn't it?
Okay, well, you know. Sing with me, everybody.
Born in a mansion in the Motor City. Youngest boy in a Mormon family. Raised in the capital, was rich, you see. Killed his first company when he was only three. Romney, Mrs. Romney, awkward as he can be. Romney, Mrs. Romney, white as a French pastry. Went to Massachusetts and served for a spell. Fixing up the government and laws as well. Invented Romney Care to give folks ease. Nothing like Obamacare. Next question, please. Romney, Mitt Romney, likes just the right height trees. Romney, Mitt Romney, king of the GOP.
Well, wow, thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yes, great work. You could just sing Willard. His real name is Willard.
It
and
is.
It works in the
By the way, the whole disarray of the Republican is on evidence because right now, as that was playing, we're watching CNN, and Sarah Palin is on. The chyron is, Palin, anything is possible, open to accepting GOP nomination.
Oh, gay
and gal.
Oh, God.
God.
Yeah, there was not really a definitive winner last
night. No, so close in Ohio, they didn't even know, right, till the middle of the night.
Right, but it turned out to be
Romney. It still says apparent winner online, or on the,
For Ohio,
the TV.
Yeah. Well, that's essentially, what do we have?
They all gave victory speeches. Did you see them?
yeah. Even Ron Paul.
Yeah. Oh, poor Ron Paul.
Well, because
still winless, Paul campaign presses on. Aw, little feller in a giant suit.
Yeah, but he's the guy, he's actually running on this idea that, and like I said, Rachel Maddow did this report on the fact that they do these caucuses in some of these states, and then they vote afterwards, like, who's going to be the the delegate, and all of his supporters stay behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, that's it. Or it's like when the doctor hits your knee, and then it's just going to take time before your leg actually, apparently the delegates later will suddenly realize they're from Ron
Paul.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, they're all. What they do is, I think the Ron Paul campaign actually just lays seed pods next to any of the delegates that have been voting for Santorum or Gingrich or Romney, and then in the morning they wake up, wearing hemp.
Yeah. Yes.
And,
so
and
there
having
was
more emotion.
There was Frank Lee looking pleased with himself. He won Buford Pusserland.
Frankly,
he's the president of Crackerland.
Right.
Technically, he won Georgia. And then there's Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum won what now? Let's
Three.
See. Three.
Yeah.
Which ones? I'm hang on. Oh, hang
care.
On. Yeah, I have
I don't
it here.
Know, and it
Tennessee,
really doesn't
Oklahoma,
matter.
North Dakota.
Right.
And obviously a squeaker in Ohio. He lost by a very, very small margin in Ohio. So frothy surges on.
Well, there will be.
He was Googled, apparently.
Yes. There will be an automatic recount, I guess, of Ohio, regardless, because it's too narrow.
Huh.
But they
didn't have one for John Kerry.
That's funny. Well, that's the Republican National Committee rules or whatever for there. But I'm fairly certain that the reason we may end up finding out, like Iowa, that Santorum actually won it.
Right. But, no, I was wondering that. If
Romney will benefit from the
bump. Because this morning, it's still saying apparent winner.
Yeah.
But it's,
well, now
yeah.
they're skittish about it because they've given it away to him so many times, you know, that and it's right. come back to bite them. So they now it's apparent all over the place, which is hopefully means that if they do have a recount, they will, it'll
right.
be for Ron Paul.
Right.
I don't know.
Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning.
Jim Ward called this morning to let us know he'll be late because he had Thai food diarrhea.
Janice brought home some delicious vegetarian Thai food, and all went well for about 12 hours.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. All right.
Thought it was done?
Nope. When we start on current, we don't need that information. You don't need to tell the television audience that. Okay.
Did he tell the television audience? Did I miss something? Did he bring it up?
Yes.
Thank you.
What?
You brought it up.
Sorry. He didn't come in here.
We're not on TV yet.
Yeah, but we're on Ustream. It's not like he came in wearing a T-shirt that said, "Last night I ate Thai food and it all ended poorly."
I'm just saying, sometimes he doesn't say why he's late, but I'm just saying that was
a good
overly
example.
Descriptive.
Right, okay.
That was too much information.
Preemptive strike. I understand. I'm with you there.
Yeah,
I'm confused,
but I'm with you. Pad Mun Sen fan myself, and so I'm just saying.
Kind of stalled my coming.
Okay.
Pat CU is more like it.
All right.
Rather not see.
Oh.
You can email us all at the StephanieMiller.com. Oh, see, lots of people are starting with the jokes already about the TV thing. Mike says, as long as you're fully armpit medicated and dry, I'm fine with the new TV deal. Okay, you know what? Can we just leave the MSNBC incident
in
the past?
6 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
People have been listening entirely too long. They know entirely too many embarrassing things about my life. Shush. All right.
The pictures haven't disappeared.
It's on the internet. Yeah. is forever. All right. Those were hot TV lights. They're giving us better lights now. It's not real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they have fans attached.
No crude lights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Sexy Liberal Dream. Hal, it's for you. Rachel.
Oh.
I had a Sexy Liberal Dream. Steph, I woke up this morning laughing my butt off. I had this dream that I went to see Sexy Liberal, and the sexual energy between me and Hal was so evident, I kept thinking, the audience has got to be bored just watching me and Hal. Sadly, I woke up and realized I was not in bed with Hal. Rock on, Sexy Liberals.
Hmm. All right.
That's kind of a common dream.
You
wake up and you're like, oh, I'm not in bed with Hal Sparks.
I've never had that dream.
Yeah. That's true, because most of the time on Tuesday nights I spend the night at Jim's house.
Yes, yes.
It's a long drive from my house to get here.
Rachel, I feel your pain. Almost every night on the road, I'm knocking on his door with my big cartoon hand. Please, can I? No? Okay. All right. I'll go back to my own room. Now?
Get away from the door.
No.
There's a bottle of wine down the hall. That's. I'm not in here.
Well, if it isn't Mrs. Nussbaum.
I think that sound effect was from 1938.
All right. Political strategist extraordinaire David Benda joins us next hour to break down the results.
Mm-hmm.
And Representative Karen Bass. Say it, Jim.
That's good Bass.
Yes, thank you. All right, we just got it out of the way before she calls.
It's been long. Terrific Bass.
That's terrific Bass. Mm-hmm.
Or bass, you know, if you're reading it for the first time.
Sure.
You assume
sure.
she was playing the
if
bass.
If you're someone prone to mispronunciations. Mittens last night. Mitt Romney last night.
Your support really means everything to Ann and me, and I'm not going to let you down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get this nomination.
No, well, yeah, you. Well, you might not.
The nomination will be just the right height. And
yeah.
Wow, what if I lose?
It feels good being.
He mentioned Lovey. He mentioned Thurston. Mentioned Lovey there. Did you see her latest? I don't really think myself as wealthy.
Really wealthy.
Isn't that droll?
My horse trainer doesn't seem to think I'm wealthy either.
He does. She makes a joke about how he doesn't know how many horses she has. Mm-hmm. And if he found out, boy, would he be upset.
Oh, my God. It's rich people humor. Oh.
Wild horses couldn't drag me away.
You know, I was saying that they need to keep him from talking.
These are well trained.
But the problem is, even the pictures, even when he's not talking, just the pictures, he's always doing that rich guy horse laugh. You know, that.
Right. Oh, dear. Good heavens. Upper class overbite.
It's just like seeing a voter that wants to shake his hand makes him go, oh!
Yeah.
Ooh.
You have to expect him to, like, pull like an embroidered cloth out of his sleeve and dust his forehead.
Yeah.
Ew. Hey, think me.
All right, mittens last night. Here we go.
Tonight we're doing some counting. We're counting up the delegates for the convention, and
well,
it looks good.
Exciting.
And we're counting down the days until November, and that looks even better.
Oh my gosh! Wow, math, math. It's so inspirational and motivational and inspiring.
Do the math, because that's the one thing that makes me look like a winner, kind of, right now.
Math.
Nobody's showing up to see me, but I'm beating Santorum, who people don't even know who he is in half these counties.
If you compare that to some of the speeches Barack Obama gave during the 2008, soaring, inspirational. I've been counting the delegates, and
the numbers look pretty good.
Numbers are good.
I think we're good.
Thanks for coming.
Wow, it'll be terrific.
Wow, that was
Barack Obama would come in here and make the stadium fuller, which would be terrible. Then we'd have to, cause more electricity and more money and more security. And
it's too much counting. It's too many people.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I'm doing better by keeping this giant stadium.
The numbers countable.
35 people in the corner.
The numbers are manageable, countable.
Yeah.
I have just the right number of people.
They're just
the right height.
They're just the right height. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. We still have all our sponsors. Look at that.
What do you know? You're probably going to add some. I'm going to go.
Yes. Actually, lots of people have been to thank Carbonite and Pro Flowers. They've been typing
Stephanie Miller
in the box at checkout.
Look at that.
To say thank you.
And we thank No-No Hair Removal System, who's a brand new sponsor today.
Oh, my. I am increasingly hairless. And
as the show goes
on. Born with a unibrow, as a small Armenian wolf cub.
You'll be Persis Kambata by the end of the show.
I get that.
I met her once. She had hair at the time.
Thank you. All right.
The Sinead O'Connoring of Stephanie Miller.
Yes, thank you.
Right.
Hal Sparks,
yes.
Your thoughts on our good friend Rush Limbaugh, my friend.
Well, first of all, they've been. You can tell by how the advertisers left and aren't coming back that they've been waiting for a good excuse to jump ship.
Yeah.
And he's hit a tipping point. Much like Glenn Beck did.
We were saying that you've been in the business a while. I mean, radio is controversy. It just is. But you go, ooh, that's that Don Imus, Dr. Laura moment.
Yeah.
Where, can you technically yell the N-word 12 times on the air? Yeah.
13.
That's probably not going to go so well for you.
Technically you can, but as a guest, when there's an 8-second delay.
Right.
We go, thanks for calling a necessarily racist human being in Iowa or wherever.
Liberals are repressing my freedom of speech. No, not.
No.
Yeah.
Just paid the consequences for being a douche nozzle.
And, we were talking about how, that of course, they start this game. I mean, but so liberals said, Florman.
No.
First of all, somebody had the nerve to call and talk about my friend Randy Rhodes.
Right.
Who called, understandably, people were upset, called Hillary Clinton a whore. But this was at a stand-up comedy show, not even
it was a private event. It wasn't on the air. Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's you cannot compare it to a three-day,
rant on the
rant
idea.
And then something.
He dials back the words. He doesn't dial back the concept. That's what I don't think he understands as far as how far it reached. It was not the word slut and prostitute, while they were bad and an essence of the problem. It was what he meant about women in general. It's how he felt about them. Because even racist terms just belie how you feel about them. It's not the racist term that I'm worried about when somebody uses it. It's the fact that, that's how you think 24/7.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not to defend everything every liberal has ever said, but that's what I'm talking about, is that they use Ed Schultz, who, again, once on his radio show slipped and called Laura Ingraham a slut. If you saw his apology, even Laura Ingraham accepted it with grace and thought it was very sincere.
Right.
That's a one-time slip of the tongue. Randy, are you kidding me? Anyone with a cell phone camera could record any moment of me at a sexy liberal show.
Right.
It's a stand-up comedy stage show.
Right.
You're not. I mean, the Randy Rhodes thing, again, that's the first time I've ever heard of someone getting fired for something they didn't say on air.
Right.
She said, you know.
Yes.
At a comedy club, as a one-time joke, and they're trying to compare this to what Rush Limbaugh did.
But I'm also sorry. There's the matter of intent. I mean, people tried to ban the N-word from Mark Twain's books, but he was just reflecting the way people talked back then.
Right.
And that's very different from Laura, what's her name? Dr. Laura.
Yeah. Right.
Doctor, in quotation marks.
Yeah.
You can just hear the bile, you know.
She's upset she can't use the word in regular conversation, like I said, while asking for butter at a restaurant. Like, that's why it upsets her. You know what I mean? And the same thing, Rush Limbaugh belies the fact that he wishes women were sluttier and available to be purchased at any given time, because that's...
Right.
What's necessary for him to get what he wants, apparently.
Jim, I thought of you yesterday because it summed up everything we hate about the mainstream media, particularly CNN sometimes. And
we'll have to leave it there.
Both sides are the same. The headline is, Are We Being Fair to Rush Limbaugh? CNN.com.
Oh, shut up.
That's what I said. I was like, oh, really? But it's written by David Frum, contributor, he worked with George Bush. But I have to say... Then when I read the piece, it's actually a really good piece, and he roundly condemns Rush Limbaugh. But again, it's how things are presented in the mainstream. Oh, are we being fair? Let's look at both sides of the Rush Limbaugh controversy.
Hitler wasn't such a bad guy.
There's no two sides. He's a pig. What? But anyway, David Frum actually actually addresses that. The broadcasters, fans are complaining about double standards and the whole, both sides do it, and so-and-so liberal did that. They continue, they say, look at all the liberal lefty broadcasters who also said obnoxious things. No one calls on Democratic politicians to account for them. Why us? And then Frum responds, here's the answer in 4 points. Point one, even by the rough standards of cable talk, radio digital talk, Limbaugh's verbal abuse of Sandra Fluke set a new kind of low. I can't recall anything as brutal, ugly, and deliberate ever being said by such a prominent person. And so emphatically repeated, this was not a case of a bad word choice. It was a brutally sexualized accusation against a specific person prolonged over 3 days. There are, Peggy Noonan, there are George Will, there are still some sane conservatives that go, this is,
This whole thing reminds me of the argument that Hitler couldn't really have been evil because he was convinced of his own rectitude. Well, he'll do until the real thing comes along. You know, that was just, it's just completely specious argument.
Well, my favorite was David Axelrod's response, because Mitt Romney, the best he can, and basically this piece is about how scared Republicans are of Rush Limbaugh, that Mitt Romney all he could manage is, I would have used a different choice of words. David Axelrod goes, wow, profiles and courage.
Yeah.
Way to stand up to Rush Limbaugh.
You're a Mormon. Of course you would. There are certain circumstances where you always are faced with another choice of words.
I would have said it folksier.
Sarah Palin said it was the height of hypocrisy to criticize Rush and make him apologize.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
See what the radical left says.
Does she know how to spell hypocrisy?
We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bad pussycat.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour.
You know what I'm saying?
But
you don't.
Marks.
Hiya.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I had not heard that Sarah Palin said that. So she defended Rush Limbaugh.
She was caught on the caucus cam, in CNN's caucus cam in Wasilla, and she said, I think the definition of hypocrisy is for Rush Limbaugh to have been called out, forced to apologize and retract what it is that he said, and exercising his First Amendment rights.
Oh.
And never is the same applied to the leftist radicals who say such horrible things about the handicapped, about women, the defenseless.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Huh?
Who?
So,
what?
Yeah.
Where?
How?
So,
okay, so when you were saying this during the break,
yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
First of all, she always sets up these straw men. Nobody said anything. You can't even name a liberal that said something about a handicapped child.
Right, yeah. I think, you know, the idea was...
If you're talking about using your own, you know, handicapped child as a campaign prop.
And people had a problem with that. That was a problem with you, not with the kid. As a matter of fact, it was more sympathetic to the child than you were being.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. But
by the way, you know what the biggest, speaking of like this magical circle of, you know, hypocrisy, separation, you know the person that criticized Sarah Palin the most? Dr. Laura talked about she should not be, with five children, particularly an profoundly disabled infant, she shouldn't be running for president. Not a liberal said that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's the hypocrisy of the liberals.
The radical left. Like Dr. Laura. And, Rush Limbaugh.
Also, too, in addition.
Did you hear some of the things Rush Limbaugh said? And he's leftist when he says those things.
By the way, didn't she think David Letterman should basically be burned at the stake for what his joke about... Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was talking about this. When I first read the headline, it made my head explode. The Are We Being Fair to Rush Limbaugh at CNN.com?
Yes.
But then it actually is a good piece by David Frum, who is, you know, one of the somewhat sane conservatives saying this was over the line. But a good piece about why it was over the line and not comparable to anything a liberal has said. He writes in here, point two, the case that conservatives cite is somehow equivalent to Limbaugh's tirade against Flook by and large did bring consequences for their authors. That's the other thing, is they go, oh, they get away with it scot-free. No, they didn't.
No.
Ed Schultz suspended himself. He apologized. Anyway, Frum writes, after David Letterman, for example, made a joke about Sarah Palin's daughter, he delivered an abject 7-minute apology on air.
Mm-hmm.
To which Palin responded by refusing the apology and insinuating that David Letterman was a child molester. This is David Frum writing this.
Yeah. Wow.
When liberal talker Ed Schultz nastily called my dear friend Laura Ingraham a slut on his radio show, MSNBC responded by suspending Schultz for a week without pay from his TV show. Schultz likewise apologized in person on air. Frum goes on to say, Democratic politicians may wish for a favorable comment from their talkers, but they're not terrified of negative comment from them in the way that Republican politicians live in fear of a negative word from Limbaugh. That, how many times have I made that point,
right,
Chris? No Democrat, and rightfully so, gives a what I say about them, and nor should they.
Right.
I mean, that's what he's saying, is that that's the pathetic part, is they are terrified of this radio blowhard.
Well, because he has no standard for what he wants other than his own supremacy. And that's the system. By the way, they think that's a decent system. That's
right.
Why when Mitt Romney says he's been successful in business by carving them up and moving them overseas and taking a profit from that, they think that's a win.
Yeah.
At that point,
you
can't
argue
with
success.
You say
that like it's a bad thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You can't argue with, hey, the guy's making omelets.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I'm the one, you're not invited to breakfast. You do realize that. Doesn't make any difference. I can smell him cooking in the next room.
Let me finish up David Frum, because you have to applaud the few remaining sane conservatives in public. He says, instead, public life is reduced to a revenge drama. Each offense is condoned by a reference to some previous offense by some undefined them who supposedly once did something even worse or anyway nearly as bad at some point in the past.
Right.
But this latest Limbaugh outburst is so piggish, to borrow a word from Peggy Noonan, as to overwhelm the revenge drama. It is the bottom of the barrel of shock talk, and the good news is from the bottom of the barrel, there's nowhere to go but up. Anyway, I thought a good piece by David Frum.
No, that's not true. You can actually walk around in circles on the bottom of the barrel for quite
Rush
a long time.
Did. Rush
anybody
did,
because
you're
that.
Like, can he make this worse? And like, oh,
yeah
now he
can.
Did. He asked for video. Okay, yes, now he made it worse.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Again, he thinks it's his word choice. He thinks it's like the dump button on the air, that you can't say certain words, and that's what, oh, I see.
Oh, just those two words.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, dropping an accidental F-bomb and it's like, no, it's your intent, your meaning, your actual belief about the station of women in the existence of the country.
Yep.
And that you represent that mentality on the right. You are the ramrod of that concept.
Well, I would have chose different words.
Right.
Trollop.
So I could have gotten away with it easier.
Mark in Chicago. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mama. How you doing today?
Floozy sounds fun. Hi, Mark.
Hey, I just wanted to carry out a little argument here, because everybody talks about they on the right, they don't want to pay for certain activities of women because contraceptive only costs about $9 at Walmart. But isn't healthcare something that we earn by working? It's part of our compensation.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Well,
I'm a European communist, but when I first came to this country some 20 years ago, I was always taught that you start at a company and the pay might not be that great in the beginning, but you get those benefits.
Right.
That's right. And, Mark, that's what I was saying. It drove me crazy. Jim, I heard this on another right-wing show yesterday. The whole premise of this rant is incorrect. It's not the government. We're, that's not taxpayers paying. It's right. your insurer.
Right.
Mark, that's what that's what this whole case was about.
No, Stephanie, it's not even the insurer. It's you. You earned this money by working for somebody.
That's right.
And a lot of times, I have a college degree, Stephanie, and I make more money driving a truck than entering a corporate world right now at entry level.
Right.
Because that's how they underpay those people, because mm-hmm. there are so many young graduates coming out of school today that right. they will pay somebody with a college degree in the vicinity of $30,000-$40,000, right. which right. in Chicago you can't live off of.
Yep, I hear you, Mark.
Well, here's the other thing. You run a religious organization. The idea is that you are proselytizing. You are teaching a particular moral belief system. And it is a choice. It is a free will. You can decide to be a Catholic or
a Jesuit,
or Christian or whatever.
Right.
But either you believe in your moral argument or you don't. The availability of contraceptives from your insurance person should not be part of your moral decision as a company. You should be able to convince those people not to act on that morally.
Right, but the whole premise is what Mark says is true. This whole debate is about your employer, your insurance company covering certain things. It's not the whole premise of, oh, she wants us to pay the taxpayer to pay for her birth control. It's like, what? That's not even
right.
a correct premise. And by the way, not to get in a feminazi frenzy, why has nobody addressed how come it's Viagra's covered? How come erectile dysfunction? But how can you? That's purely recreational, isn't it? I mean, you know, that's not even.
That's to fix something broken, and the other is right. to break something that's fixing to do something
right.
nice. I don't know.
Huh? Right.
Yeah.
That's
his vagina, point. In this case, the vagina already works, and you're giving it a pill to make it not work. And in the other case, the penis doesn't
but
work,
the point
and you're
is
giving it a pill to get it working again.
Birth control is used for a lot of other things, for endometriosis and cysts and stuff like that.
You mean keeping women alive and raise,
yes.
Lowering deaths related to...
Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That might not be a goal of that crowd.
Mm. Sally in Minneapolis. Hi, Sally.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to address this whole issue of the right saying his First Amendment rights are being
right.
trampled on.
Yes.
Your First Amendment rights, I understand, are protected against government interference. So if the government had shut Rush Limbaugh down, his First Amendment rights would have been trampled on. They're not. This is the free market that the right wing loves so much until it doesn't.
This is the same argument that drove me crazy with Dr. Laura. Nobody was squelching her First Amendment right. She has the right to yell the N-word 13 times. She also has a right.
We have the right to not listen to her.
Right, to suffer the consequences. And that's what I'm saying. She quit her own multi-million dollar radio show. Nobody's,
How dare you force me to quit?
Well, in our advertisers, it can act.
First Amendment rights are protected from the government interference, not from you
and I choosing.
Right.
Well, and also, wouldn't technically the advertisers be, within their First Amendment rights to not have their message mangled by somebody that they were advertising to? They're not forced. My First Amendment rights don't force me to pay for you to have space, room, or volume to talk.
And my Dr. Laura thing was born mostly out of personal bitterness because I'm I'm a liberal radio host. I make a penny compared to you. And number two, I'm gay and I could still get fired in a lot of states.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even do my radio show in some states.
You should call yourself Dr. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah,
be fine.
There you go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can get something online, couldn't
Stephanie
I?
Miller Esquire.
Some doctor of something.
Just
so I could get what Dr. Phil has. The doctor of...
A mustache?
Bullology.
Right.
Lisa in Maryland. Hello, Lisa.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to make the point real quick. I think George Will, of all people, said it on the Sunday Talk this weekend that, they're expecting us to believe that Mitt Romney or any of these other guys are going to stand up to Ahmadinejad or Al-Qaeda or Kim Jong-un or any of those other wackos around the world, but they won't stand up to Rush Limbaugh.
Thank you.
They won't come on progressive talk.
Lisa, George Will made this point,
Right.
They want to bomb Iran, but they're scared of Rush Limbaugh? I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and hey, Hal, my kids love your show.
Oh, Lab Rats?
They love Lab Rats.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's doing terrific. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good luck, guys.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, honey. Tell channel?
Disney
How we
XD
find it?
Mondays at 8:30. Last week's episode was the debut was the highest rated show in the history of the Disney Channel.
Wow!
By double, I think.
Yeah. Now there's no carbon based life form that is not hysterical over Hal Sparks. Yeah.
But it's really cool and it's a funny show and I'm very proud to be on it. And the kids are great. So there, that's not kind of great, but glue up for a minute.
Yay.
But But here's the thing. They, you know, Bill O'Reilly does this all the time, too, because he thinks that if you criticize him, it's a violation of his First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
that literally his right to be a jerk supersedes your right to call him out for being a
yeah.
jerk.
Yeah, and I love these right-wingers that have, you know, a radio show, a TV show. Like, so they can tell us on their multiple platforms how their freedom of speech is being...
Oh, yeah.
So they can tell us 3 hours on the radio and another hour on television how they have no right to speak.
Yeah, I'm driving in the car listening to the returns and all that kind of stuff and flipping, you know, AM stations or whatever. There's Glenn Beck on one of these channels. And he sounds more and more like Alex Jones every day. Everything's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
And yet he's still on the air. And the only people who've taken him off the air, ultimately, are advertisers and the lack of people willing to pay for his vitriol to literally service it.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying. It's you know, be careful with this boycott stuff. It's an awful lot easier to crush a progressive show because we're only on 50, 60 stations. You know, the problem is Rush Limbaugh, that's tough. When people say, oh, fire him, it's like... He's on 600 stations. He's lost a couple.
Isn't his pay subsidized by the Heritage Foundation and all that anyways? Like, they track back a lot of the money that goes into supporting his show, and it's from these right-wing think tanks that dump a bunch of money in to make him look more successful than he actually is. That's why Cenk Uygur called him out and said, I'll bet you $10,000 you can't prove this giant audience you supposedly have.
Yeah.
These ratings that you supposedly have.
No, I mean, the economics, as you can imagine, in progressive radio, that's why we said, you know, I'm going to boycott Carbonite and 12 hours and your show until you get rid of them. I don't have the luxury, you know.
Right.
What happened is exactly correct. Our listeners contacted Carbonite, ProFlowers, other people, told them respectfully how they felt, and they made the right decision, I think. But, you know, it's you know, anyway. But, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm 46 minutes. Thank you. 46 minutes after the hour. Back more Hump Days with child star and rock star Hal Sparks.
That's
next
true.
Sunday,
I was
Stephanie
in an after-school special when I was 16.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks.
Hiya.
Blew the joint up in Phoenix and in Chicago. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks. Katie in Chicago, right? Here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Katie.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
I wanted you to know that I took your advice from yesterday, and I sent love letters to ProFlowers and Carbonite.
Thank you.
I'm already a Carbonite user, so I couldn't, like, resubscribe and type Stephanie in the box, but I wanted to let them know that I was going to re-up my subscription this year because they had done the right thing.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let you know that the friend that I brought with me to Sexy Liberal, who you brought up on stage to dance at the end, almost lost her mind.
It was kind of off the hook in Chicago, wasn't it? Chicago Blues All-Stars?
Yeah.
Hal Sparks on guitar? I mean, come on.
It was even better than last year, if that was possible. Aww. And I brought her for her 30th birthday, and she was so excited about seeing the hot, wonderful Stephanie Miller in person.
Yeah.
And then you brought Lisa up and made out right in front of her.
That's
I almost had to pick her up off the floor. That was so wonderful.
Yeah. We did have sexy liberal hot girl on
little
girl
hot girl
action.
And girl action. Little three ways. Every guy in the front row got a three way, so it was pretty exciting. All right, Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mama.
All right, classy with a K. Thanks.
You get a three-way, and you get a three-way.
Yeah,
and you
I'm
get
like, a I'm like the new Oprah.
She's like the Oprah of lesbian fantasies.
There's a three-way under your seat.
Yeah.
What? Oh, my God.
That's why my leg's falling asleep.
Randall in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Randall.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hello, Mooks. I'm the official independent relationship and grief counselor of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, relationships and grief. Interesting.
Wow. Those things don't go together.
Yeah.
Which of these things is not like the other?
With you, it is. Not anymore, apparently, right? So,
yeah,
anyway,
who knows? You know, if history's any guide, I got to have you on speed dial.
I think we're all kind of missing the point with Rush here. I mean, there is the misogynistic aspect, absolutely, of course. However,
yeah, you think? Subtle, hard to pick up, Randall, but good for you. You're a highly trained therapist.
That's right. It's just Tea Party crap. I've got mine. I'm not giving you yours. It's what we've been hearing for 4 years now. I have insurance. I get what I want. I'm not giving you your insurance. I'm not paying for what you want. I'm not giving you your, you know, fire insurance. I'm not paying for an ambulance for you. I'm not giving you food stamps.
Right.
You know, that's what it is that he's talking about.
And by the way, Randall,
for the Tea Party.
Yeah, Rush better thank God for those union nurses that helped him when he had a heart attack in Hawaii, right?
Right.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
He's a hypocrite.
Yep. Yep. Thank you, Randall.
Well, he probably woke up wondering why they weren't wearing candy striper outfits, and you know.
This is not my fantasy. You seem to be a trained medical professional that has helped stop me from dying. That's not what I was hoping for. I wanted a slutty prostitute nurse.
Right. Don't you have to wear like a short skirt with a bunch of frills underneath it?
You're not slutty enough. Where are the slutty nurses? Bring all the sluts.
More sluttiness, less medical training. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There's also an essential point that's being missed here. Georgetown University already offers contraceptive coverage to its employees.
Aye.
One of the things Ms. Fluck was trying to say is, why do students not get it when the employees get it? It's a benefit. They live in D.C. It's part of the D.C. There are regulations in each state. So you have DePaul University or Creighton University. All Catholic institutions already offer it. What she was saying one thing, which is, if the employees get this as a benefit, why not the students? That was number one.
Right.
Number two, though, I just want to say is, as someone I know someone who I'm very close to who's a graduate of Georgetown Law, and he was telling me the doctors have been working with the female students for years. A disproportionate number of women there seem to have acne, for which a prescription for birth control pills, that hormone, does a lot to clear the skin. He said, you can imagine, there's a lot of beautiful women with very clear skin walking around with a diagnosis.
So,
which is why they're sluts.
Doesn't it seem oddly like, oh, I don't know, the government getting between you and your doctor? That doesn't seem like small government to me. Like, they're trying to make a doctor's decision as to what medicine to prescribe when?
Well, their entire sales point on this idea is that the government is coming in and infusing themselves into a religious decision by someone. These are the same party that's passing anti-Sharia laws all over the country. If a corporate township in Michigan that's mostly Muslim wants to pass a Sharia law for their local legal needs, then technically that would be possible only legally because they are passing exceptions like this in
And Sue, did you hear the beating votes, that this poor Sandra Fluck is taking on right-wing radio? I was listening to another show yesterday, and apparently she shouldn't have gone there because she's 30, so that's she's not a real... It's like, yes, some people go to grad school later. She's in law school. It's like, I mean, so it discounts her point of view because what?
Well, he was only wrong 100%, but I have a solution to end this whole thing with Rush.
Yeah.
All we need to do is give Rush a transurethral probe to see if there's any conscience up there.
Ew.
All right. Well, I brought this up at the show on Saturday in Chicago, but technically, I think somewhere in the area of 80% of erectile dysfunction is caused by an enlarged prostate, and currently there is only really one way to check for an enlarged prostate.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But so if you get a Viagra prescription... one would think that you would at least want to check before you give someone a pill that the real problem is not something else and can't be solved through some other medication or some other treatment. So there should be a forced anal probing.
Anal probe, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
If you really
and listen,
care about
that,
the...
because we're liberals, we're helpers, that may help Rush get his head out of there. Why, look, we need to remove your head from here again.
Right.
Where's the problem?
Where's the problem? Your head's stuck
in
up
the
there.
In the way. You really think it would make that high-pitched a noise?
That's the only one I got.
That's a big head.
Yeah.
That's not going to make that little cartoon
sound.
Don't you
have to make
boom?
Yeah, that's a little closer.
Boom.
Yeah, more like a trampoline, like a bumble bouncing on a trampoline.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
All right,
Mr. Limbaugh. Got the whole head out. You'll be fine now. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. I believe a few picks up from the Chicago Sexy Liberal.
Yeah.
Chicago Sexy Liberal, his own bad self, Hal Sparks, in studio all 3 hours for Hump Days with Hal. All right, and let's see. Oh, Mike in Austin writes on we had breaking news this week. We're going to be televised all 3 hours on Current TV, starting as soon as they get all the thing with jiggles and the hoozy whizzles.
Starting ASAP o'clock.
Technically.
At ASAP o'clock.
And the pantoufles.
Mike in Austin, Steph, at the end of the Ed Schultz promo, he laments that he needs 2 shows since 1 hour is not enough. Are you going to rub it in his face that you'll not only have 3 hours on television, but you don't have to travel to a TV studio, dress up, or give up your cocktail hour? I think I'll call and rub it in his face today, in fact. I have more time for hunting now, Ed.
He might call you a slut if you do that.
No, he will not. He's my friend. Oh, Mike and Raleigh.
Your friends call you a slut.
Yeah. That's a term of endearment.
And yeah.
Yeah, Jim has posited friends. If you type slut in the box on many of our sponsors, they'll go, did you mean?
Go to Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
You're like right. Siri.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Siri, help me find a slut.
How about
tuning your radio to Stephanie Miller.
Okay. All right. Oh, now speaking of apologies, Mike and Raleigh says, staff, because there a lot of these false analogies about one time a liberal said a thing about how come they didn't apologize? You know. Steph, I don't recall that 4-year-old apologizing for calling George Bush a dump truck. What's up with that, damn liberals? Yeah, Brennan.
Did you say George Bush is a dump truck?
The Bush is a dump
truck. Thank you, Brennan.
I had the same trouble with the TR formation when I was his age.
Oh, that's adorable.
And I, you know.
You know what else is adorable?
Mm-hmm. Return to the
yes. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
Return.
David
Bender. Oh, he's a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Yay.
Yay, David Bender.
Oh, surfing in on another wave of Mittmentum. Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning, and I love being segued in adorably. That is so much fun.
You are adorable.
Well, thank you, and right back at you. But you know, Mitt, this morning, while you guys have been chatting away about the excitement that is Mittmentum.
Yes.
He said, and I think I'm quoting this accurately here, I'm pretty darn happy.
Nice.
No, let me
Jeepers.
Quote exactly right. I feel pretty darn good.
That's awesome.
That is the enthusiasm that he inspires in himself. Actually.
Yeah. He's, you know, inside.
Wasn't that the most inspirational math speech you'd ever heard? I've got the, I'm counting delegates and I was.
Inside Mitt Romney is a half-empty stadium full of people.
And I'm counting down the days to November, and that's even better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was really inspirational. Bender, I still didn't close the deal, right?
No, not at all. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, let's go to the videotape.
Yes.
What really happened last night was that if it were not for 12,000 votes, and by the way, it does not trigger a recount. It has to be 0.25%.
Oh.
And it's about 1%. So
I had to go to bed at some point, David.
I'm sorry?
I had to go to bed at some point.
You had to go to bed at some point.
It was 4,000 when I went to sleep.
Even Hal Sparks sleeps, for God's sake.
Hal Sparks never sleeps. That's a lie. He had to stand on his head for a while.
I had to hang upside down in a cavern next to the guy who directed Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
But the truth is, that's why I'm here. 0.25, no recount, but 12,000 votes, and what was it, about 3% in Michigan, this his own state. This is not a landslide Mitt Romney, okay?
No.
He lost 3 states. You start looking at the map, and you start seeing where he won. He won Vermont. He won Massachusetts. He won Virginia with 59% of the vote. Okay, now, his ceiling was 59%, and the only other candidate on the Virginia ballot was Ron Paul. Right?
I know. That's what's so hilarious about this primary. It's, I think I was sitting there with Lisa last night. She goes, oh, that's pretty good. He won Virginia. I'm like, no one else was running.
Yeah.
Only Ron Paul. It's almost hard to understand this primary process. It
was Ron Paul's biggest showing ever. And what that means is really all of the Republicans who who are running against Mitt, anyone who is the anti-Mitt, is going to get to some significant number. It has nothing to do with that guy. It's not Santorum. It's not Gingrich. Now, here's what we really have to look at. Gingrich said, if I had lost Georgia, I would have been out today. I would have quit. That he won, he considers justification for going forward. But he said, if I thought that Rick Santorum could beat Romney and could beat Obama, I'd get out.
Wait, so Gingrich said that.
Gingrich said that.
Yeah.
And that's where the pressure is going to come. Because right now, Romney doesn't have a prayer next week. First, this Saturday there will be caucuses in Kansas. That is a Santorum, unless I'm completely misreading this, Santorum wins Kansas on Saturday. Next Tuesday, it's Alabama and Mississippi. Mitt Romney is going to run third to Gingrich and Santorum.
I don't know. Not to the degree that he pissed off Mitch McConnell yesterday. Did you hear this?
Remember when it was Tim Pawlenty who was going to crowd me out? And remember then when it was Michelle Bachmann? And then it was our good friend Herman Cain the first time. Then it was Herman Cain the second time. And now it's Santorum. And you just can't quite get across to him. It's all right. There are lots of bunny rabbits that run through. I'm the tortoise. I just take one step at a time.
You know what? When you steal Yertle's thunder.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
I'm the turtle. You are the walrus. Coo-coo-ca-choo.
Coo-coo-ca-choo. And it's actually true. He is he keeps plodding along, but if he loses Alabama and Mississippi.
Right. Yeah.
Head to head with Rick Santorum, and that's what the race is now.
Yeah.
This is a race to see if Gingrich can get out.
Well, this is all helping Romney, as people are saying,
ultimately,
right? Because there is,
maybe,
you know,
it's turned into roller derby. Basically, you know, you've got somebody trying to, right now. Santorum's whole thing is he's got to knock the other two out. He's got it so he can gather votes. Because if Gingrich wasn't in Ohio, for example, it could be assumed that he
absolutely
that Santorum would have beat Romney soundly.
That's
in
right.
Ohio.
And in Michigan.
Yes.
And in Michigan. So if Gingrich gets out after Alabama and Mississippi, if Santorum wins both those states, trust me, the pressure will be huge on Gingrich to get out. The following state after that is Louisiana, another place Santorum is likely to do well. So Romney is looking at Illinois on the 20th as his place to score the knockout. If it is head-to-head with Santorum, we're going to be looking then at that. And that's really how the calendar is playing out. But right now the calendar very much favors Santorum, and very much favors Santorum possibly getting Gingrich to wake up and say, you know, I've got to go to Las Vegas and move in with Sheldon Adelson.
Right. Well, did he go to Adelson?
Timing-wise, by the way, for Super Tuesday, I may ask my listeners to go to Pro Flowers and send Rush a big bouquet and type Stephanie. Don't forget to type Stephanie in the box.
In the box.
And thank him for overshadowing Super Tuesday.
I would say
Super
send them
Tuesday
to send
his giant
and say with our apologies
girth.
For, you know, send Sandra flowers from Pro Flowers.
Yeah.
It couldn't have helped more. It does reflect everything the Republicans stand for. And if you saw the president yesterday, and I don't know if you have the sound of this from the president's press conference, when he was talking about how he felt on this issue with his daughters.
Yeah, we do have that. Let's take a listen. President Obama, he, by the way, great press conference, I thought, both in comments on Iran and on this. He was asked about the
gas prices, too.
Yeah.
All decent folks can agree that the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. And, you know, the reason I called Ms. Flute is because I thought about Malia and Sasha, and one of the things I want them to do as they get older is to engage in issues they care about, even ones I may not agree with them on. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
And in a completely unrelated story, the president's numbers with women, David, going through the roof.
completely unrelated. Yeah. There is no corollary here at all. You know, I heard an interesting factoid last night. It hadn't occurred to me, even going back to Rutherford B. Hayes. I had not paid attention to this. Is Mitt Romney, were he to be elected president, would be the first president since Eisenhower who has no daughters. And think about this now. You know, five sons, he's got granddaughters to be sure, but one of the reasons that, you know, you see the empathy, you feel that from Barack Obama, is because he has daughters. And women understand that. There is something that to be said for that. And it hadn't occurred to me how important that is and how important that will be going forward in this campaign.
Yep.
Speaking of women who have no empathy and who should not hold public office, one of the good stories that came out of yesterday, you remember Mean Jean Schmidt?
Ah, yes.
She lost her primary yesterday.
Yes, the Schmidt head from Ohio lost. So sad.
The Schmidt head.
Yes.
Yeah, you can say that. And you notice how the president pronounced Sondra's name. He's not taking the risks that you do.
Yes. I know. Well, you know, it was first Fluke and then Fluck, and then apparently it's Fluke is the actual pronunciation.
In the original Norwegian.
Yes, I fluked it up the first time.
But Mean Jean Schmidt is out of Congress. Sadly, so is Dennis Kucinich.
I know.
But for those people who love Dennis Kucinich, as many and most of us do, anyone who has cared about the country, for you know, his record not only is for Ohio, he's been a national congressman, he is considering moving to Washington State. He's got until May 18th.
Oh, awesome.
And there is an open seat in Seattle. So.
Oh, that's perfect. I would love that.
People love Dennis Kucinich. Send him a message. Say, hey, Dennis, move.
Yeah. Speaking of big names, you did, I understand, a fabulous job filling in for me, and your guests were David Crosby, the Pope, the Queen of England. Am I missing anyone else?
Well, it was the Queen.
You show-offy bastard.
The Queen, but not the Queen of England. it was an honor and a privilege. I got to tell you, you have the best listeners in the world.
I do, indeed. I have the smartest kids in class.
We had the greatest callers. We had a huge amount of fun. Hal and I were, it was all over except the humping.
I know. Yes. Your non-creepy Uncle David did a fabulous job, I'm told, and everybody was happy. All right, honey. We'll talk to you next week.
Hang in there, Rick Santorum. There's
yes.
More to come.
All right. Love
everybody,
you, honey.
$5 this campaign.
Come on over Saturday night to watch Game Change.
You got it.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah. Game Change is on Saturday. God. That Chiron terrifies me. Sarah Palin, anything's possible. I'd be happy to accept the Republican nomination. Betcha.
But see, this movie,
and then I'll quit.
This movie coming out will give her. This movie will give her another little PR boost and make her, you know, the victim again.
Apparently, it almost makes her look sympathetic.
Yeah. Well, there are parts, that make her look like
she's
human.
She's having a nervous breakdown, essentially, during the process, which, by the way, anybody thrust into the national limelight that quickly and that harshly, it's rough.
I saw an interview with Julianne Moore. She seemed sympathetic. I mean, while she politically does not think that she was qualified, like many of us do, and all of that, but she said, you know, being the mother of five children and a, you know, disabled infant, and to be thrust into the spotlight like this, and it must have been really difficult. So that's what I've heard, is it's not as unsympathetic as people say.
Right.
On a human level.
I think ultimately one of her big problems is that she doesn't like herself. And you can tell in her discourse how protective and defensive she is.
Yeah, Sarah, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah.
God, the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on in all of my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. 25 minutes after the hour.
How can I lighten up when there's so many sluts in the world?
It's a joke. You sluts don't get the jokes. 25 minutes
after
the hour.
I've only lost 36 advertisers. There's nothing.
And it's like the numbers in McDonald's for the advertisers.
20 million lost.
Insofar as, you know, languaging, just on the a slut is a person who gives it away for free.
Right.
A prostitute charges for it. Make up your mind.
Yeah, a prostitute would do almost anything for money or say almost anything. Hey,
oh,
wait a minute.
Hey, wait a second.
Wait a minute, Rush.
You mean they'll stop saying it once their advertisers dry up?
Oh,
or they'll start apologizing once the money starts going
on? I'm not a slut. I'm a whore.
Right.
There's a difference.
Exactly.
Loves me some Andy Borowitz. Rush loses his biggest sponsor. We are terminating our relationship with Rush, Limbaugh, says Satan. Embattled radio host Rush Limbaugh suffered another major desertion today as he lost the support of one of his longtime sponsors, Satan. The usually reclusive Prince of Darkness announced his decision at a hastily called press conference in Columbus, Ohio, his official unofficial headquarters on Earth. Oh, no,
Columbus.
You don't, my Columbus, no. Due to remarks of his that we consider unacceptable, we are terminating our relationship with Rush Limbaugh, Satan said in a tersely worded statement. After a certain point, the association with Rush became problematic for Satan's public image, the aide said. We went through a similar thing last year with Rupert Murdoch. Advertisers continue to abandon Mr. Limbaugh's program in droves today, including companies who had sponsored it for years, like the online dating site NaziMingle.com. Elsewhere, exit polls in Russia show Vladimir Putin did particularly well among voters who described themselves as not wanting to be imprisoned.
Yes.
Love me some Borowitz. Wow, that was intentional comedy? Some unintentional comedy?
Yeah.
This must have contributed to the Santorum surge in some states. This was a pro-Santorum, anti-Romney robocall in Ohio.
Yes.
Hey, my name is Brian Kamiker. I'm a Jew from Massachusetts.
And this is Darcy Brandon. I'm a Christian from California. If you believe, as we do, that marriage and sexuality should only be between a man and a woman, please help us stop Mitt Romney.
As governor, Romney signed gay youth Pride Day proclamations, promoted homosexuality in our elementary schools, and unconstitutionally ordered state officials to make Massachusetts America's first same-sex marriage state.
Romney supports open homosexuality in the military, the appointment of homosexual judges,
making it
illegal to fire a man who wears a dress and high heels to work, even if he's your child's teacher.
When you vote tomorrow, please vote for social sanity in Rick Santorum, not for homosexuality in Mitt Romney.
Rick Santorum is the only candidate who can be trusted to uphold traditional marriage, a straight military, and the rights of American children to have both a mother and a father.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
A straight military.
Hello, I am a Jew from Massachusetts.
And my big concern is that...
Nobody says that that's actually
hello.
Jewish.
I am a Jew.
Hello.
And I enjoy bacon.
They had a, what?
Wait, what?
Like,
no.
Hi, I'm a Jewish man from... Cut. One second. Rick, he said Jewish man. Can you... Do you mind...
Well,
this is a 30-second spot. Can you say Jew...
And how many syllables can you cram into the word Jew?
I mean, wow.
Very, very
so now crazy. Homosexuality is not allowed to even exist. Didn't she say, what was that? That kind of sexuality,
well, you'll
that's
have
not
firemen
even
who
allowed
wear dresses
now.
And kids won't have the right to a mommy and a daddy. Like,
wow.
If you have a mommy and a daddy, they'll come take you away.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Karen Bass next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ready? Because I'm about to drop some knowledge. Cute girls are not from Buffalo.
What? It is
wow.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Buffalo girls, why don't you stay home tonight?
Do they have any choice?
Stay home and stay home and shave. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
You don't have to shave.
No,
you can use the no-no.
Use the no-no. Mama's new sponsor. Awesome.
I'll borrow that and see if I can do some manscaping with it. Yeah,
because manscaping, it's like that, Steve Carell movie.
See?
Right?
Chris,
and now you can do it with no
penis. Johnny Carson!
Chris says you can do manscaping with it.
Yeah, you can. It's awesome. All right.
Is it?
1-800.
Have you been doing some manscaping with it? You've been doing spotting people? Like,
it worked so well on me. I was done, so I started doing male neighbors.
Yeah,
just,
right.
Come here.
What? I'm going to try. This is awesome.
You did boy band.
Yeah, I did boy band.
Oh, yeah.
He's completely hairless now. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Regular form of his debilitary regimen.
Right. So all three of the Republican candidates claimed victory yesterday in the cluster that is the Republican. Mitt Romney's like, yeah, Massachusetts spiked it. Gingrich is like, yeah, Georgia. Woo!
Yeah.
And, of course, Rothy is still surging.
This was a big night tonight. Lots of states. We're going to win a few.
We're going to lose a few. Mm-hmm. But as it looks right now, we're going to get at least a couple of gold medals and a whole passel full of silver medals.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say if you're running against the guy whose one sales point is that he saved the Olympics in Salt Lake City, you don't want to use a gold-silver medal analogy.
Yeah. I predict we'll win all 35 states.
Oh, he won it. Saved it with government money. FYI.
Yeah, yeah.
GTK. Jot that down. Hmm. Okay. Nudie, last night.
We survived the national elite's effort to kill us in the summer.
Frankly.
Because of you. Because people who said,
you dopes,
we are not going to allow the elite to decide who we are allowed to nominate.
Oh, God. Mm. By the way, he means
we'll
the
elite. We'll let Sheldon Adelson decide.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Voice of the people.
The elites within the Republican Party. Normally, he's pointing that ire at the Washington establishment and the media. The elites that he really means, and it's such a generic term now, he means within the Republican Party. He means the people who are forcing the Romney campaign. Hmm. Well, guess what? They're going to win. Republicans, you don't have a vote.
That's right.
You don't have a choice. It'll
like the reindeer Clarice in the Christmas special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He believes there's always tomorrow.
Tomorrow will bring another chapter in the race for nomination.
It'll be shorter and with a lot of pictures in it, but really no content. It won't really move the story forward, but it will be another chapter all the same.
And
it'll be a scratch and sniff, actually, if
Ron
I have
Paul
my way.
Once again, got a rock in his stocking.
Oh.
I got a rock. Oh, Charlie Brown.
You look at the candidates today, there is very little difference except for one.
Rick Santorum?
The rest of the candidates support the status quo. Foreign policies never change. Monetary policy doesn't change. There's no challenge to the Federal Reserve System. And most of all, there's no desire to protect personal liberty, personal privacy.
And no desire to turn back civil rights laws.
Yeah, but, personal liberty and personal privacy and keep gays from getting married if they and being covered by the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution.
Dan in Atlanta. Hey, yeah. Dan, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. You know, Hal hit on a point in the last hour when he was talking about the whole thing with the religious freedom argument of the right wing, and he was talking about Sharia law.
Yeah.
You know, right there you see the hypocrisy again, because right. You know, with how many states now have banned Sharia law? Not that I'm like for it or anything, but how many states have banned it? That in itself is an attack on religious freedom.
Of course.
You know? And you know, to kind of use a little more of a comical analogy to this and to help some people understand a little more. The argument that the Catholic Church is using, I mean, even Timothy Dolan came out again, was like, you know, this is going to be about religious freedom. You know, it would be like me saying, my name is Dan, and I'm from the Church of Satan, okay? And if I wanted, you know, and because I want to go, you know, the government is not allowing me to go into your house, kidnap you, and sacrifice you to my Lord Beelzebub.
Right.
That's an infringement on my First Amendment right.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's everybody's rights but theirs are an infringement on theirs. That's the thing, is that by fighting for all religions, this president is selling Christianity short instead of them having to compete in a war of ideas, because that's what religion is about. It's not about what laws you can get passed in the country.
Yeah.
It's about what you really can convince people of based on your argument and how well you live.
Yeah.
You go, wow, that guy's really happy every day. What is his secret? Is it Jesus Christ or Dianetics or being a Jew from Massachusetts, according to the recording?
Hello, I am a Jew from Massachusetts.
Right.
For Rick Santorum.
Right. So if he's, what is he, Siri? It's like, brother, sorry.
Yeah. Well, all right. They're not good on virtually any issue, but they can sing, the right wing.
Red Elephant Records presents The Right Wing Can Sing, a spectacular collection of hits as performed by the original artists, featuring Herman Cain's classic reimagining of John Lennon's Imagine.
Imagine there's no pizza.
John Ashcroft's legendary performance of Let the Eagle Soar.
Let the Eagle Soar. Like she's never soared.
Mitt Romney's courageous a cappella version of America the Beautiful.
Above the fruited plain. America.
And for those very special occasions, you won't want to miss out on the birthday book. John Boehner's birthday greeting.
Hey! Your birthday song, it doesn't last too long. Hey!
But wait, there's more.
Wow.
As a bonus, we'll include Fox News Can Sing with the gangster rap styling of Peter Johnson. And the latest smash single from Fox News, Eric Bowling's Gasoline Blues.
I woke up this morning and turned on the news. Gasoline was up again. I got the blues.
Also included in this collection is Judge Andrew Napolitano's Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally!
The Right Wing Can Sing. Available now on 8-track cassette, exclusively at Revco.
Oh, dear. Thank you, Kenny Pick. That was really, at times, painful. Should we play Compare and Contrast? Is it fair? All right, I guess we can.
Uh-huh.
President Obama, are you there?
So in love.
Yeah.
Oh, the most handsome romantic president ever.
You can almost picture him singing it in the kitchen to his wife.
Yeah.
That just made me straight. It really did. Martha in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Martha.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
People this morning.
Good.
I just wanted to weigh in on Rush Limbaugh. He's been married 4 times and he has no children.
By the way, I noticed weigh in on Rush Limbaugh. I noticed that sentence. I just
wanted
extra points. Yeah,
very simple.
And, you know, is that one of his talents that's not on Loan from God? Because he has 4 wives but no kids. So presumably there's some birth control being used in his house, and there's maybe some recreational sex, although, Jesus God, I hope not.
Mm. Yeah, I think his naked body is the only contraception that's probably needed. It's just probably, yeah. Splat! Oh,
I just
all right.
think I'm going to burp!
I'm
going to tell you what I did on my weekend in the Dominican Republic, but I can't, my friend.
Not really? Even on the big bag of cash you made this week, Rush. I can't even... Can't even do it then.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that if you're sending your housekeeper out to buy 10,000 pills at once, that's not going to be the limit of your illegal activities. And when you toss around the word prostitute and...
oh, dear. Stephanie, Illinois.
There might be a moment of reflection necessary.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to add to this discussion about the rights war on recreational sex.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I think if people want to have their Viagra covered by insurance, men need to do 2 things. First, present a marriage certificate. And second of all, produce a child to the state 9 months later.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thank you. Buddy and Columbus, you're on Stephanie.
I'll have you know, though, that according to the Bible, if your wife doesn't produce a man child, you can get rid of her.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Exactly.
We're just sticking to that.
Or if she gets Alzheimer's.
That last caller was attacking religious freedom.
Yeah.
The right to
Pat Robertson said it's okay
slavery.
To cheat on your wife if she has Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I mean.
Sorry, she's gonna
know. Not around.
Oh, she's not going to know.
She's not going to remember in the morning.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama Mooks. Hey, before I get to my point, can I hear Al Gore warning Stephanie Miller about wearing the purple sweater?
If you're going to be on my network, I must insist you not wear the purple sweater. I have enough trouble getting people to watch my network without you showing your sweaty pits.
Oh, you getting all sweaty up in this who. All right. Don't tell Al Gore how much paper we print or the deal is off.
Hey, Mama.
Yes.
Hey, the one thing that Rush and Bill O'Reilly is missing, and I know this from firsthand thing, just because a woman is taking birth control, and you might even be living with her at the time, that does not mean she's having sex with you every day.
What?
Because I remember I was in my 20s.
Are you implying that Rush doesn't know the correct number of pills that someone should take? What is your point?
Well, no, just because she's on the pill does not mean she automatically wanted Buddy's chubby.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, they don't get this. It's just like...
You know what? I'm gonna need time to get over that whole visual that you just gave me there, buddy. But all right, thank you, buddy.
Yes, but an excellent point.
Yes,
as it were.
Buddy's chubby.
Well, he thinks it's just like Viagra. Each use.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. That was the thing is that she. Yeah.
Kenneth in New York on the stunning Rick Santorum robocall. Hello, Kenneth.
Hey, what's going on? I've studied psycholinguistics, and I follow the psycholinguist Steven Pinker from Harvard. Mm-hmm. And this is what he's doing with that robocall, where he's a lady describing herself as a Jew. It's an extremely outdated way of talking.
Actual Jews talk like that.
We don't define down people now to how the one detail, how they're different. Like, I'm a black male. I don't call, you know, people don't call me a black. It would be rude. I'm a black person. In medical literature, we're moving away from this now, too.
Right.
You don't call a person a schizophrenic or a diabetic. You say suffering from diabetes or a person with schizophrenia. We don't now find the one thing that makes somebody different from a, you know, like a white Christian male. And then
no, you know, I actually, now that you mentioned it.
I'm from Boston, and I'm suffering from Judaism.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I want everyone that calls the show to do that. Hello, I am Kenneth, and I am a black from New York.
Believe me, I'm dead serious, though. There would be, at some point, they stopped that recording session, and we're like, can you just say Jew?
Yeah, I got to hear it again.
It gets to the point, people around here.
I got to hear it again.
Yeah.
My name is Brian Kamiker. I'm a Jew from Massachusetts.
And this is Darcy Brandon. I'm a Christian from California. If you believe, as we do, that marriage and sexuality should only be between a man and a woman,
there's no more sexuality.
Mitt Romney.
As governor, permitted among gay youth Pride Day proclamations promoted homosexuality in our elementary schools and unconstitutionally ordered state officials to make Massachusetts America's first.
I got the weed. Dude, pick up.
Your math is ready.
Glenn is on the other line. I got to finish listening to this robocall about gays. Before I can go
just finish cooking your math. It's not going
to
stay hot all morning.
Yeah, right.
Child's teacher.
When you vote tomorrow, please vote for social sanity and Rick Santorum, not for homosexuality.
The kitchen's on fire.
Rick Santorum is the only candidate who can be trusted to uphold traditional marriage, a straight military, and the rights of American children to have both a mother and a father.
I am not reading from
Wait
a script.
Minute.
No sexuality is allowed between gays anymore? That kills my whole night.
So, that good news, though, if there's a President Santorum and either one of your parents is widowed, they will be provided a mate by the state.
Sure.
Because according to Rick Santorum, you have a right to
a mother and father. You'll get a cardboard cutout, just like Mitt Romney.
Who are you? I'm your new dad.
Here is your clip art dad.
I've been assigned by the government.
47 minutes after the hour, Representative Karen Bass next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons, have all gone. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons.
Shush, it was my favorite song as a child.
I'm not going to do another key change. Yes, I am. I'm going to sing really high.
All right. Okay.
Because you can't see me anymore.
All right. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Well, you know, I'm barely recovered from the mentum or whatever it is that happened yesterday.
There's a yawning game now.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Exactly. There's a yawning game. Every time someone says mentum, you yawn.
Yeah exactly. Wow. So we had three different Republicans claiming victory yesterday. Still no clear winner, except, of course, for President Obama.
That's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, I was saying in a completely unrelated story, the president's numbers with women going way, way up.
Well, you think? I mean, considering what has happened here, I mean, from my very first day of being here, it's just been an all-out attack on women. And I'm not exactly sure what the Republicans are thinking, how they're thinking that that's going to advance their agenda, but more power to them.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been saying this, Representatives, we've been talking about how this country, you know, the Blunt Amendment, the contraceptive fight in Washington, which is so 1952, you know, these horrible transvaginal probe laws in different states. And then, you know, you think, boy, how could it be better? Oh, I know, if the head of the Republican Party would call women sluts and prostitutes. That's Rush Limbaugh did. I mean, you know, it's not just a catchphrase, the war on women, is it?
Well, no, it really isn't. I mean, it's very serious if you think about the legislation that has passed out of the House here. But I think that created the environment for Rush Limbaugh to feel that he could do that. And then to say I apologize for two words. It wasn't about two words. It was about his entire statement. So I guess the part about him saying that she should send in her videos, I guess he didn't apologize for that.
Yeah.
He apologizes for two words. It misses the point.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, honestly, when even this contraception fight started, I couldn't even believe we were talking about this. Could you? I mean, I was looking at Rick Santorum just hugely lost the Catholic vote in, where was it? You know, Ohio, pretty much every state, you know, that he's run in.
You know, I can't help but to feel bad for Republican women because it has been so shocking. You talk about 1952. It absolutely feels like that. But you've noticed, I mean, has there been any Republican women up supporting this? Have they been up in arms, you know, supporting the whole attack against contraception? 99% of women in the United States use contraception at some point in time, and contraception isn't always used to prevent pregnancy. It's also used to prevent cancer.
By the way, presumably those 99% of women, there's a man involved, generally.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, when we were saying this shouldn't even be, a woman's fight when you think about it. I mean, this is just...
But to watch men passionately speak about this issue is just absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
Where are the women? Where are the Republican women who support this? You haven't heard from them.
Well, and plus, I think, I hate to say it, but boy, in some ways, not only are the Rick Santorums of the world so out of step with people on issues, but in a time when most people care about the economy and jobs, you're not just talking about social issues, but as we said, social issues that were settled in 1952. It's really...
Exactly.
I mean,
but, you know, it also just shows you how you can never assume that any issue is settled. You always have to be vigilant. You always have to be fighting to move things forward, because as soon as you become complacent, somebody will be trying to turn the clock back.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with voting rights. I mean, that's exactly what's happening right now. The whole move towards states' rights. You know, all of this is about a very old agenda, so it isn't even one topic like women's health. It's pretty comprehensive.
Well, meanwhile, there's the president, you know, trying to move forward, do some real things for real people. Yesterday, he talked about the program for homeowners with mortgages mm-hmm. backed by the Federal Housing Administration. And he said yesterday, we're going to do this on our own. We don't need congressional authorization to do it. I'm not going to be one of those people who says we should stand by and let housing hit bottom, Mitt Romney. So, you know, he's obviously doing what he can because of this unbelievably obstructionist Congress he's been up against, right?
Well, you know, I love to see him do the executive orders and to just take action because, you know, and you know I'm a new member of Congress, and the time I've been here, the way we have squandered the use of time has just been really shocking considering the crisis that the nation still continues to be in.
Yep. It seems I was looking at one poll today, and not just with women. Obama leads 6-1 among Latinos against any of the Republican candidates.
Well, I guess those are those Latinos that don't want to self-deport themselves back to Mexico, right?
Yes.
I've never even heard of such a concept.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mitt. Representative Bass, I'm sorry. I know you were late running to a vote and all that, but we're up against a hard break. It's always a pleasure. Come back again real soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
You too. All right. Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California.
That's terrific, Bass.
Yes, that was terrific, Bass. Thank you, Chris. Listen, the listeners just fill it in themselves. We don't have to say it. As soon as I hung up and hit this, they were like saying, that was terrific. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, much more to get to. We got Right Wing World, Celebrity Stack. We got Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy post-Super Tuesday. Ooh, it was exciting.
Mid-Mantum is sweeping
the
nation.
Not so super. Thanks for asking.
Mid-Mantum.
Should we play the Mittens Romney thing again? Yeah, why not? We're all basking in the glow. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks and I.
I'm feeling fantastic.
Yes,
I've got
momentum.
What?
I feel like a Davy Crockett parody, don't you? Why, thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
Born in a mansion in the Motor City, youngest boy in a Mormon family. Raised in the capital, was rich, you see. Killed his first company when he was only three. Romney, Mittens Romney, awkward as he can be. Romney, Mittens Romney, white as a French pastry.
You had to edit a word out there.
Went to Massachusetts and served for a spell, fixing up the government and laws as well. Invented Romney Care to give folks ease. Nothing like Obamacare. Next question, please. Romney, Mittens Romney, life's just the right height trees. Romney, Mittens Romney, king of the GOP.
Oh, thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Now I'm really feeling the momentum.
Oh, yeah. Quit that.
But Frothy claimed victory as well. It was another Santorum night, according to him. Yes.
Another Santorum night, and it ain't got nobody.
Oh,
he's a big Mormon, so he won't get laid. Now how he wished he had not heard of Frothy. He's in an awful way.
All right, thank you.
Dope.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And Nudie was awfully smiley, wasn't he? Nudie's a...
Perfect.
Yeah, won his home state, so... Rock and
roll. Number three with a bullet, frankly.
Yeah. All right. Stephen on the breaking news that the Stephanie Miller Radio Show will be televising current old 3 hours starting soon. Yeah. Stephen, shouldn't we start sending the antiperspirants now? Okay, enough about the jokes about me being sweaty up in the Who on MSNBC a few years ago, for God's sakes.
Six years ago.
Six, thank you. All right. I think, you know what, I think I'm through with that hormonal change now, so I think it should be fine. That, and we have, you know, it's not really TV lights this time.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
it's like a little reality show here. Okay. Chelsea in Chicago. Oh, it's another unsolicited ProFlowers testimonial. Why, thank you. Staff, wanted to let you know I vowed to buy something from any sponsor who pulled their funding of Rush Limbaugh. I just ordered my husband to place an order with ProFlowers right away, and we'll be receiving a succulent bouquet in days. I wrote them to let them know I listened to you and thank them for supporting the show. Why, thank you, Chelsea. You're the smartest girl in class. Thank you. Oh, look, it's a sexy liberal. Lisa in Dayton, Ohio. Chicago sexy liberal. Hi, Mama. Two sexy liberal tickets, $140. Hotel room, $110. Car rental, $80. Gas, $90. Sexy liberal t-shirt, $20. Watching my daughter realize we aren't the only liberals in the world. Priceless. On a funny note, Bailey loved John and Hal, but when Steph put the camera down her pants, she howled. Yeah, it's hard to top that, you know, for intelligent comedy. That's, thanks for the great time. Bailey gets to vote for the first time yesterday, and your show prepared her. Oh, dear.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Kids need to see the teabagging before they vote. That's why Hal and I do it as a public service.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm? Huh? I beg your pardon. Okay. Huh? Joe in Cleveland on Super Tuesday. Hi, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello,
Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, first of all, I probably...
Thanks for my call?
I only probably agree with you on 2% of the stuff, but
all
that's
right.
Okay.
Right.
Which percent would that be?
Which two?
Example?
Get out of Iran and Iraq. I do actually think...
We're not in Iran.
We're not
but,
in Iran
okay.
yet.
You mean Afghanistan and Iraq?
Stay out of
We're
Iran.
Already out of Iraq.
But if a Republican wins, yeah, we will.
Yeah, well, that's the point of my call.
Okay.
I usually vote with Republicans. I'm definitely not a Republican.
Yes, you are. If you usually vote with a Republican, you're a Republican. You may call yourself an independent, but if you usually vote with a Republican, you're a Republican.
Well, okay, whatever. I'm actually a Libertarian Party member, but that's okay.
All right, go ahead.
But
what's your point?
Here's the whole point. The Republican establishment really needs to get a brain. They keep on throwing people at conservatives that are like Romney, McCain, George Bush 1, George Bush 2. And there's a whole bunch of people like me, and I do have a little bit of circle of us wacky conservatives that believe more about ideas than party. And there is no way on earth I would ever vote for Santorum or Romney. if Newt wasn't so wacky, maybe Newt. But
yes, if Newt wasn't so nudie.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he didn't have the qualities that he actually has as a person.
Right. Yeah.
I've always thought Obama's going to win. I thought for the last 6 months Obama's going to win regardless. But I just wish some people who really believe in things in college and grad school, most of my friends were actually hardcore liberals because a lot of them actually believed in stuff. Some of them were misguided, but they actually believed in things. We really got to start sending these establishment people a message. You know, I'm trying to get a lot of conservatives just to say, look, Romney gets the nomination. Let's vote Constitutional Party. Let's vote Libertarian. Let's vote whatever. But do not vote, because we can't reward the stupid Wall Street establishment. These
yeah, you know what? What you might do then is vote for President Obama, who's actually taken on the Wall Street establishment. But
yeah.
But, you know, maybe some liberals should start, you know, holding Obama to the fire on stuff like the Patriot Act and Gitmo and things like that.
Well, if you'll recall, for example, the president signed an executive order to close Gitmo, and it was the Republican Party, of which you are a member tacitly, as you may say, but you actually are, that blocked all transfers of prisoners from military prisons to be tried in civil courts. So is that his problem on Gitmo, or is that the Republican problem on Gitmo?
That's fine. I'm not here to argue that type of
stuff. Yeah, Joe, and by the way, if we can't get your vote for Obama, I think that's a dandy idea. Vote Constitutional Party.
Oh, no, Obama's good. You know, I have zero problem with that. I don't care if Obama wins again. Well, I do a little bit, but I don't care if Obama wins. But
yeah, I know, I'd send a message if I were you. I would, you know what, you go, be free, because don't let them treat you
like
that.
They're not going to listen to you anyways.
Don't.
You're an establishment Republican who identifies as an independent.
Yeah, I would do that.
They don't care about you.
Constitutional Party. Write in somebody. I think that's, don't let them treat you like that. Be free of the Republican establishment. Stand up. Take a stand.
Born
really?
Free.
All right, I sense he wasn't going to vote for Obama.
That's true.
So I set him off on his own. Set him free.
That's one of the most irritating things in the world is when Republicans who voted for George Bush, George Bush twice, now identify themselves as independents because they're too embarrassed.
And opened with, I hate unnecessary war. Joe, you voted for,
You absolutely support. I vote with Republicans every time. Well, then you supported the fact that they didn't want to close Gitmo, that they fought against it from the very beginning.
Patrick in Boston, hello. Hi, Pat.
Stephanie, how are you, my dear?
Good.
Hey, listen, I was driving down Tremont Street up here in Boston, and I'm going to use a Seinfeldism. They've got the neon placard out in front of who's appearing, and lo and behold, do I see your gorgeous mug, and I think it moved.
It was. It's weird. The eyes follow you, don't they? At the Wilbur Theater there, yeah.
Listen, I've called you in the past. I don't agree with 99% of what you said.
Yikes!
You know,
I'm down to 1% now.
Yeah,
right.
You're the 1%.
He's the 1%.
But yesterday you did the Lovey piece, and I do listen to you because I do find you entertaining, and I laugh at a lot of stuff you say. But yesterday I don't think you were fair, and you probably won't play the whole piece about Mrs. Romney saying that she doesn't feel like she's wealthy, because if you played the whole piece, she was very eloquent and very well spoken about, you know, what she's gone through health wise. And what she actually, you know, purports to be, you know, her feelings towards other, you know, people in humanity, as far as, you know, the folks that don't have much, the folks that are medically challenged, mentally challenged. And you just played this one snippet, and, you know, I don't care for her husband too much because we have to live with RomneyCare. But, you know, to go after her about, you know, a little piece
Patrick,
of what she
most
said,
people had the same reaction to it. I'm not saying, you know, all the other points she made aren't valid. I'm just saying when you have a husband that seems the most out of touch with real people of any candidate in memory, and you have his wife say, I don't really feel wealthy, I mean, they have $200 million, Patrick.
Romney, you didn't play the rest of the piece.
I did. We played the whole. We didn't play just her saying I don't feel wealthy. She said.
Of course you did. I mean, it was about a minute. That's why I know you won't.
Right.
Play,
we played like 20 seconds of it.
Yeah. If you played the rest of it, you'd see that she. I mean, again, I don't want to use a mediaism, but she recovered eloquently. She
But she still said, I don't feel wealthy. Most people would kind of consider $200 million wealthy.
The other thing too is her health considerations that you're speaking of. her wealth gives her a lot more options in taking care of it than she does in other. And Mitt Romney, in his defense, originally Romney Care was sort of addressing that issue. He has completely distanced himself from that. But she also said that one of the ways that she, like, one of the best things for her MS, for example, has been horseback riding. And that, which is not exactly a therapy open to most people or an option,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then she followed that up, by the way, in her recovery with, Mitt doesn't have any idea how many horses I own, as a, you know, as if it was, you know, outfits she wears. These are,
that makes her a bad person.
No, not at all.
It doesn't
make her a bad person.
Out of touch. It makes her an out-of-touch rich person like her husband.
She has no concept of how hard it is that most people who get an MS diagnosis, for example, are going to just lose their house. End of conversation.
Yeah.
Your life as you know it is over at a certain point. She will never encounter that in her life. Never. And
I hate to say it's almost analogous to the John McCain not knowing how many houses he owns.
It's exactly analogous to that.
Having multiple houses or multiple horses is bad enough in terms of seeming out of touch. But saying, oh, we don't really even know how many.
Wild horses. Yeah. Don't know how many I have.
Exactly. 17 minutes after the hour. Kids, go to meeting. What would I do without it? Nothing. That's what I would do, Chris. I would just, everything would shut down. Just go to meeting becoming a requirement for business professionals to collaborate with clients and colleagues. Now you can meet all face-to-face online. Take it from me. So easy to use. One click. There you are in the meeting. I can get product demonstrations for new products that I'm going to endorse. I can see sexy liberal logos. I, as you know, don't like to leave my house. Elderly shut in. But who does? Who likes to travel? Who likes expense? Who likes the hassle of it? With GoToMeeting's new HD faces, you can collaborate online in documents and presentations in real time while seeing your colleagues' reactions and facial expressions. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you can hold as many online meetings as you want for as long as you need for one low, flat monthly rate. All online meeting services are not like that. That is a huge thing. I love GoToMeeting. It's reliable. It's fast. You're going to love it, too. Try GoToMeeting with HD faces today. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and the promo code is Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour, right back, Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am a sucker for a shock jock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Sparks. By the way, sexyliberal.com, Albuquerque up next, March 31st. Tickets going very fast there.
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
I think it's actually pronounced Albuquerque.
Pardon me.
Albuquerque.
All right.
Albuquerque.
Turn left from anywhere.
Isn't that right, Chris Lavoie?
Lavoie, as Siri says. All right. Oh, dear. More breaking news out of L.A. City School District. Oxnard teacher put on leave accused of appearing in porn. I love this. This is L.A., though. There's a pretty low bar now. She was not terminated because the kids weren't in the porn, so then they're like, well, that's all right then.
Wow.
If our kids aren't in it, that's all right then. That's...
Oh, right.
Yikes. Yeah,
that's... good point.
Yeah. Kind of how low can you go? Right now, the L.A. City School District. Okay. Hey, speaking of polls, a majority of Americans back President Obama's decision to apologize for U.S. troops burning copies of the Quran. Huh.
Yeah.
Weird. One more issue the Republicans a little out of step on. 56%, that's nearly 60, Jim, agree with the president's decision to apologize, according to a Reuters survey. Obama, of course, has come under sharp attack from the Republican presidential hopefuls for his apologies.
I guess
they are wrong.
They won't be voting
everything
for Santorum, those 56%.
I will never apologize for America, ever. Even if we start World War III and kill millions of innocent civilians, we have that right as Americans.
Yeah, America. Yeah. I mentioned this one earlier, new Wall Street Journal NBC poll. President Obama has gained overall support and market gains among female voters. Huh.
What?
Gee,
that's
so
shocking.
Weird. Where are the white women at? With Obama. He's gained support among white and suburban women in both groups. The president is up to a 45% approval rating from 40% in December.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah, with the president.
Really?
Overall, among women, approval for the president rose to 54%, versus 40% disapproval. Obama's overall rating up to 50%, the poll finds. And in the matchup against Romney, Obama wins 50 to 44%. And the campaign has been fun. Yeah.
It certainly has. Like, you know, in earnest.
By the way, and he leaves, I mentioned this one more poll, because somebody was talking hell about how just on every issue the Republicans are so out of step, but even, you know, what do you call it, not just geographically.
Yes.
And, you know, in terms of where the country is going, Obama leads 6-1 among Latinos, which is huge. This is
huge.
A Fox poll. None of the Republican contenders for the presidential nomination poll above 14%. In a head-to-head matchup against Obama with Latinos. That is, Obama has a 6-1 advantage among Hispanics, leading Romney 70% to 14% among likely Latino voters. He beats Gingrich 72 to 14. According to the poll, 40% of John McCain voters are now supporting Obama over Gingrich or Romney. 38% supporting Obama over Santorum. Obama's approval rating among Hispanics stands at 73%. In retrospect, George Bush captured 44% of the Hispanic vote, obviously trying to get comprehensive immigration reform through. Hispanics, of course, have since abandoned the GOP in record numbers. So this is quantified proof that the Republican Party has moved. George Bush would be considered a socialist at this point.
Well, McCain famously, after he didn't win as big a slice as, you know, the Latino vote, referred to them as you people.
You people.
Afterwards. So it was a little bit of disingenuous siding with Latino voters the last time around. And that stacked with what they've been, you know, how they've been presenting. It's almost like...
Oh, by the way, Jim pointed out that Ann Romney could have made it worse rather than just saying my husband doesn't...
The rest of her statement was, donde están los caballos?
She could have spoken Spanglish, exactly.
Right.
Well, in all honesty, you know, just polled, how do Iranian voters feel about, you know, Mitt Romney? And, like, they would have still gotten, because that's how they treat Hispanics. They, as far as they're concerned, Romney's actually running on the, you know, a terrorist could get a bomb and bring it. I'd rather a terrorist could bring a bomb across the border with Mexico, because we're not even bothered to. Actually, enforcement and deportations are up, and yet still Latinos side with the president because he's got a sensible immigration policy.
And what's to stop someone bringing a bomb over the border from Canada?
Right.
Hello. All right.
They're white. White people don't do that.
Oh, but they're white.
The president talking at the press conference yesterday.
I believe that the children Democrats have a better story to tell to women about how we're going to solidify the middle class and grow this economy. I'm not somebody who believes that women are going to be single-issue voters.
Oh, by the way, we have to skip to the snap when the doofy Fox reporter asks a doofy question.
Right. Your critics will say on Capitol Hill that you want gas prices to go higher because you have said before that will wean the American people off fossil fuels onto renewable fuels. How do you respond to that?
Ed, just from a political perspective, do you think the President of the United States going into re-election wants gas prices to go up higher? Is there anybody here who thinks that makes a lot of sense? Here's the bottom line with respect to gas prices. I want gas prices lower because they hurt families.
Ha! Snap. Thank you, sir. All right, some other crunchy audio goodness from the press conferences. We continue Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are beautiful. You pop, sparkle, and buzz electric.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The
34
God lust for cruise ships. No, that's not what that song is about.
Jim in San Diego. You're on Hump Dates with Hal. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
So, two points. But first point is how excited I am to see the success of Rick Santorum. Really expose the ignorance of the extreme right of the Republican Party. It's really kind of fun. But the more important point I wanted to bring up was the sort of alternative of Obama, the virtual Obama that the Fox Limbaugh, what I like to call Slimbox, has created, that is not even the real Barack Obama. They just created this person that they say is weak on defense and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Because they can't run against the record of the real Barack Obama.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The real President Obama, by the way, used his first press conference in 4 months to explicitly attack his Republican opponents for the casualness of their rhetoric regarding war with Iran. I love this part.
What's said on the campaign trail? You know, those folks don't have a lot of responsibilities. They're not commander in chief. And when I see the casualness with which some of these folks talk about war, I'm reminded of the costs involved in war. I'm reminded of the decision that I have to make in terms of sending our young men and women into battle. This is not a game, and there's nothing casual about it. And, you know, when I see some of these folks who have a lot of bluster and a lot of big talk, but when you actually ask them specifically what they would do, it turns out they repeat the things that we've been doing over the last 3 years.
Yeah, thank you. He said typically it's not people who are popping off who pay the price. This notion somehow we have a choice to make next week or 2 weeks or month or 2 months is not borne out by the facts.
Well, of course, Gingrich can use his extensive combat experience to make...
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's another one of those. Chicken hawk. Okay. One more with the president.
Today is Super Tuesday, so I wonder if you might weigh in on some of your potential Republican opponents. Mitt Romney has criticized you on Iran and said hope is not a foreign policy. He also said that you are America's most feckless president since Carter. What would you like to say to Mr. Romney?
Good luck tonight. Really?
Really?
Hilarious. By the way, guess who else hates this Republican campaign? Former First Lady Barbara Bush. Said she's not a fan of the current presidential race. She said, I think it's been the worst campaign I've ever seen in my life. I hate it.
Wow.
I hate the fact that people think compromise is a dirty word. I think the rest of the world is looking at us these days and saying, what are you doing?
Yeah. Wow. They've been saying that since your idiot son got into office, that's for sure.
Oops. Sorry. Sorry to bring up the whole idiot son. Wow. By the by, yikes. The more you look into, you know, the Google and Rick Santorum, I don't know if you guys know this, not friends, really?
Oh.
Not good.
Hmm.
No.
What happens if you Google Santorum?
I haven't heard. Huh. Enlighten us.
If somebody, if somebody just went to Google and typed in Santorum?
Sure. Among other things, this. During his first U.S. Senate campaign in 1994, Rick Santorum warned voters of a growing menace that was breeding more criminals and threatened to destroy America from within, single mothers.
Oh, right.
Most people agree a continuation of the current welfare system will be the ruination of this country, he said in 1994. We're seeing it. We're seeing the fabric of this country fall apart, and it's falling apart because of single mothers.
Yeah, that's why you want to eliminate contraception, access to abortion.
Right. Uh-huh.
And gay marriage.
And gay marriage,
yeah.
He said, what we have is moms raising children in single-parent households simply breeding more criminals.
So having two moms then should be okay with him, right?
Yeah, that should be a criminal-free household.
Or double the criminals. Maybe this kid will be a mastermind.
Right.
He becomes a supervillain if you have two moms.
I would have a secret underground lair.
Right.
1 million bottles.
I agree with Barbara Bush. Pathetic disgrace. Mitt Romney yesterday.
What is his energy policy? It's apparently to make it hard to get coal out of the ground with more regulations,
hard to use it,
hard to take advantage of our oil resources, makes it harder to get the gas out of the ground, and as a result, why he's happy with wind and solar. We all like wind and solar, but you can't drive a car with a windmill on it.
No, we all know you need a Labrador, don't you?
Hey!
You need to drive with an Irish Setter,
on
the roof. I don't think you should make any on the roof, driving on the roof comments, do you?
No. Probably not.
And coal is incredibly toxic. It's poisoned the rivers.
Yeah, it's hard to get out of the ground on its own. Just ask all the dead miners and the people who own the coal mines who fight against regulations.
If you didn't have all those pesky regulations, you could get it out faster.
Chile
survived.
But
all right, Mitt Romney.
I'm not going to say outrageous things about the president or about my opponents. It gets headlines and a lot of excitement, and it gets you, by the way, a number of days in the polls to get a nice little bump. But I want to talk about the real issues Americans face and talk with respect about people who have differing views. Mm. I'm not going to attack them personally. I mean, I know that's fun, but it's just not productive.
Mm. Yeah.
It's fun.
Resonating. I mean, without all that.
Is it as fun as firing people?
All right. And Nudie, one last one.
Hey, anybody who thinks Romney can outraise Obama, it ain't going to happen. I mean, you had better be prepared to wage a campaign of ideas this fall, because the only hope we have to beat Obama is to have better ideas communicated clearly and cutting through his billion-dollar campaign.
Yeah.
Because he will be relentlessly negative.
No, we've heard all of your ideas in, what, 20 debates? And yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we got it. We got your ideas.
Yeah.
They're bad.
Shut it down, I think is one of... Did you see, by any chance, the video of him dozing off at APAC?
Did you see that?
Oh,
and then he woke
gorgeous.
Up and said, I understand you have a panel. I'll take questions.
I'm like,
they're like, there's no panel. Just talk.
Do all Keebler elves have narcolepsy or just him? Because, oh, my God, he's looking more and more Keebler-y by the day. Like,
I've got a plan.
Cookies. Like, that seems to be the...
More chips. I'm going to make more cookies.
More chips on the free market chip.
From my tree on the dark side of the moon.
I thought this was a joke headline. Limbaugh to be honored with bust in Missouri State House. Couldn't happen to a nicer set of man boobs. A bust for Rush Limbaugh. He'll soon be honored in the Missouri State House with a bust in the Hall of Famous Missouri. He'll join
boob of a boob.
Yes. He'll join the likes of Walter Cronkite and Mark Twain.
Oh, wow.
My God.
That's desecration right there, having him in the same building.
Wow. Yikes. All right, Scott Brown, well, look here. You know, he pulled a little bit ahead to Hal of Elizabeth Warren. Mm. Perhaps this will help. Scott Brown received more than $900,000 from financial services sector after watering down Wall Street reform.
Huh.
And see, now he's running as the real Wall Street reformer against Elizabeth Warren. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lisa Murkowski, by the way, I was talking about the dwindling few... You know, sane conservatives with some sort of conscience.
Mm-hmm.
She regrets voting for Blunt's religious conscience measure. She said, I've let these women down. This is what happens. Like Olympia Snow, all the sane ones, they have to retire. They're just like, these people are too crazy.
Yeah,
I can't.
Be driven out.
Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski told a local newspaper she regrets her vote for the so-called Blunt Amendment. She said, I've never had a vote I've taken where I felt that I let down more people that believed in me, claiming the amendment's language went overboard. And yet, because of, obviously, pressure from all the crazies in her party, that's the problem. If people were saying, somebody wrote a piece about how depressing it is the Olympia Snow is retiring, because she's like one of the few sort of sane voices in the Republican Party.
Yeah, but, they've made that completely obvious that's not welcome. It hasn't really been welcome.
Right.
I mean, Bush kept a couple of people that seemed sane around so that he could tell them what to say. I mean, famously, you know, Colin Powell speaking to the UN. Like, here's a man who didn't believe what he was saying, you know, believed that this was largely contrived, and was forced by the White House to say the things that he said.
Yeah.
They're mouthpieces. But once you actually have any desire to implement, like, I think we ought to dial it down a tad, you're out.
Yeah,
forget it.
Exactly. Ken in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, Stephanie, I'm just here to remind you of the facts.
Okay. Awesome.
When Obama came into office, the Democrats had majorities of both houses. Mm-hmm. They stopped the funding of transfer of prisoners from Gitmo, the Democrats. They also voted for TARP to bail out Wall Street, mm-hmm. okay?
Well, George Bush started that.
Democrats voted for it because they controlled both houses.
First of all, Ken, I'm going to agree with you that, yes, I think it was because of a few weak-kneed Democrats. And that's why we never really had the majority, which is what you opened with.
It was a majority. They had a majority of both houses. And thirdly, after 15 years...
We never really had a majority. You consider Joe Lieberman a devoted Democrat?
After 15 years of watching Iran develop nuclear weapons, which is their intent no matter what, come hell or high water...
Yeah, thank God George Bush stopped that. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think people are being realistic.
Okay, let's go on that topic for just 1 second then. Iran has been 2 years away from a nuclear missile since 1985, according to the same people you're sourcing. Secondarily, who got 7 nuclear missiles during which presidency in the last 25 years?
Well, you know, there's nothing you could do about it once they get the nuclear weapon.
Yes. Well, the answer to that would be George Bush's administration.
George Bush, in your argument, allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
They didn't have any when he got in office. They had 7 when he left.
What's your idea to stop Iran? What's your idea?
Nothing. Do nothing. Let me tell you something.
They're working sanctions right now, and the Iranians have actually allowed inspectors into their sites for the first time. This president is in talks to have the North Koreans move away from their nuclear program. George Bush had no engagement at all.
It is wishful thinking. It is not going to work. They're intent on doing what they want to do, and they're going to do it, and that's the bottom line.
Based on
we need to bomb them.
Start World War III, then. That's the only option.
So bombing Iran is our only option? Is that what you're saying?
But you can keep the pressure up, and I agree with that. I should have been doing a lot sooner. He's been saying this stuff for 3 years, and he's finally, because of political pressure, has started to act.
The State Department's been working since day one on the Iranian nuclear issue.
Was George Bush's only feeling is failing not also starting a war with Iran, in your opinion?
I think an aerial strike is in order. I think it should be based on what?
Okay, awesome. Yeah. We're out of time. I'd like to know more of his strategy.
And how many civilians are you comfortable with killing?
Okay. Well, yeah,
they're not civilians. They're
Iranians.
Who
can't agree with that?
I don't even know where civil as a country is.
It's really the only thing George Bush did wrong there. He just didn't know. He just didn't have time to get to one more country. Right. Yeah.
I want to hit all the countries. Yeah. Look out, Italy and Ireland.
That's the tragedy there of the Bush administration. 46 minutes after the hour, right back, the waning moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Raise your glass. Representative Jackie Speier on the big show tomorrow, along with Carl Frisch and Congressman Jim McDermott.
They're fancy and dancy.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, Jim McDermott has a little problem with the Washington, D.C. ad that says, "Go to hell, Barack," on it. That might be just a skosh disrespectful. Okay, we'll talk to him about that and much more.
Well, they don't believe he's actually the president. They don't believe he's actually a citizen, so they don't believe it's disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Stephen writes, "Hello, I am a Jew from Arizona, and I love the Sexy Liberal Show."
Hello, Stephen.
Thank you. Everyone's going to talk like a Rick Santorum robocall.
Hey, my name is Brian Kamiker. I'm a Jew from Massachusetts.
All right, thanks for chiming
totally.
In.
When I hear Brian Kamiker, I hear Jew from Massachusetts.
Jill in Chicago.
Brian Smithberg.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, Mooks. Hi, Al.
Hi, yeah.
My husband and I were at the Sexy Liberal Show on Saturday, here last Saturday in Chicago, and had a wonderful time.
Yay!
And had meet and grow tickets afterwards, and we just had a marvelous, marvelous time.
Aw, thank you, honey. We just, as did we. Go ahead.
But I just had a funny story that I had to relate. My husband and I were watching the returns last night on MSNBC, and we have a six-year-old son, and we have been, quote-unquote, indoctrinating him ever since he's been born.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And so we were sitting watching the panel, and someone had someone asked Reverend Al a question, and Reverend Al just started to speak, and before he could even finish his sentence, my son blurted out, "That's because they're eating the pie."
I love that, Jill.
They got the blueberry pie.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you, Jill. That's hilarious. All right, kids are doing our impression of Al Sharpton. We don't have an actual, but that's awesome. That's, you know, that's, we started a nation of Audrey, Charlie Rangel impersonators, didn't we, Audrey? Right? That's a good girl. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, must we? I had bloated gas bag for breakfast yesterday.
This is how pressure is brought to bear on people in the private sector. Accuse them of racism, discrimination, servicing only a few small percentage points of the market. Force them to cave to the all-powerful demands of the federal government. Because to do otherwise is to incur their wrath, and nobody wants that.
Mm. Whiny little
what is it
bitch.
With all of these young, single, white women, overeducated? Mm. Doesn't mean intelligent.
Overeducated.
Wow.
Wow.
Awesome. to over-educate you, because they're snobbish for getting this too much education.
The over-educated people never listen to him blow hard like Rush Limbaugh.
Right, exactly. He's losing, what is he, afraid he's losing female listeners now? that's suddenly
both
a concern?
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. Megyn Kelly, Fox News.
I also went to law school and practiced law for 9 years. I didn't go to Georgetown Law School, which is the top 14 school. I went to Albany Law School. I did not get a scholarship. I put myself $100,000 into debt when I was 21 years old to finance my own education because I believed in the promise of a better future and what that might provide me if I worked hard.
Uh-oh.
I didn't have
Fox
any
News.
Health insurance.
That's where it ended up.
Never mind coverage of my contraception. And it never, ever dawned on me to go seeking to somebody else to pay for that insurance or to provide me with coverage of my contraception. It jumped out at me as somebody who sounded like she felt entitled.
Yeah, the craziness to expect medicine to be covered by health insurance. That's crazy.
Is that something
it ended
to be
up
proud
at
of, being $100,000 in debt?
And ending up at Fox News? Oh,
it's uniquely American. She's got 3 days.
She's working three jobs.
Three jobs to pay off a degree she doesn't even use. Uniquely American.
Bernard Goldberg on O'Reilly. More on Sandra.
This woman also, again, and she was very civil in her testimony. Yeah. I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. My only problem is with the content of what she said. She is a poster person for the Entitlement Society.
Oh, for the love of God. Wow.
It's already in the employee thing. The students get...
Yeah, it goes on and on. Lars Larson
on Fox
News.
She feels entitled.
Uh-huh.
And think about
this.
As a person who's going to one of the most expensive law schools in America on scholarship, she then turns around and says, and you should pay for my birth control, too.
So, wait a minute. So she's going to a very expensive law school, probably like, what's-her-face, going into debt, and you complain that... They don't pay you to go to college.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
okay.
And you're taking out a loan that you're going to pay off later on the promise of a career you're going to have for a very long time that's, a functional part of the free market system everybody's supposed to like.
Will, by the way, speaking of sane conservatives, George Will said something, I guess, sane the other day.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump had to go and fight.
I think George Will is a loser. I've watched him for years. He actually spoke for me at Mar-a-Lago a long time ago. I was very unimpressed, and that was a long time ago. But I will say this, you know, you take away his little round spectacles and his cute little greasy haircut, and I think you probably realize he's not a very smart guy.
Jokes?
Trump is
hair jokes?
His hair.
No.
Hair
don't make me post that picture of you in the wind again.
Donald
don't.
Trump thinks George Will is not a very smart guy.
Yeah, with bad hair. Okay, just fill in your own jokes. We're not going to overwork here.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Dobbs.
Wow.
Well, this is no surprise that Jim Ward is in Lorax.
The big winner at the box office over the weekend, The Lorax, an adaptation of the classic Dr. Seuss story, which pushes an anti-capitalist, pro-environment agenda and message, and it did so to the tune of $70 million. By the way, Universal Pictures partnered with more than 70 corporate sponsors, and The Lorax character is now pushing everything from a Mazda SUV to eco-friendly diapers.
Aha! What do you have to say for yourself, Jim Ward?
I'll get a tiny, tiny, tiny little fraction of that money over a period of years.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He just made he just poked holes in his own boat.
Yeah.
Because they made a movie that has a pro-environmental argument and that promotes pro-environmental products, and it's being successful without it's a $70 million win at the box office. The products that they're using to sell it are actually making money for the companies that are putting them out over the older systems. It's really innovation they have a problem with.
All right. Well, speaking of making money,
it's a capitalist endeavor as well.
Yeah. As is the Stephanie Miller Show, which was brought to you by GoToMeeting this hour. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. Thank you, Hal Sparks. Another fabulous Hump Days with Hal. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Word.